Sale has shown, is yet to have shown, the ability to pitch a full season. It absolutely matters when this guy is supposed to be your ace. It's amazing, absolutely amazing, how the Red Sox didn't make the decision out of pure thought, but out of knee-jerk reaction, out of fear. And in baseball, in pro sports, but especially in baseball, you cannot make those type of decisions, especially when you have no farm system whatsoever. Who are you going to honestly deal right now, who that you have in your farm system that the Red Sox can say, hey, we have such and such prospect down in AAA, AA, near big league ready, that you can go and get yourself a quality, legitimate player that's going to help you in the second half when the road to October officially begins? You don't have that right now. And who's to blame? Quite frankly, Dave Dombrowski and John Henry. Because at this point, I really believe that you are saying to this entire fan base that, hey, I don't think this team is good enough to invest in. So what the heck? Leave them be. Leave them be. Let them figure it out. So you mean to tell me this whole carefree attitude, don't worry about it, we figured it out last year with this pitching, with the bullpen. We figured it out last year. We'll figure it out again this year. No worries. Easy. And what's insulting to the intelligence of Red Sox Nation is that we all knew that this bullpen was going to be a legitimate worry, a legitimate concern. I'm not worried about this team offensively. Offensively, they're fine. The offense is not the concern, hence why I have not said one word about the hitting of this team. Not worried. However, the bullpen, it's a whole other story. Right now, your bullpen alone is a reason why this team will not even get far. And to make matters worse, and I'm going to go even further, you're going to turn the closer role to a guy who, frankly, does not have a whole lot of experience in the closer role. And on top of that, has had problems staying healthy. My goodness. What a mess. What a mess. I'm just hoping that at some point that Dave Dombrowski wakes up and realizes that this is your undoing. You created this mess and you need to fix it. And what's even worse is that, and I hope that Red Sox Nation realizes this, he did this in Detroit. He'll spend, and won't even build up the farm system. And look at where Detroit is right now, rebuilding. You go back to his days when he was in Florida. I know, entirely different situation. The ownership down there was absolutely horrible. They had a fire sale after winning the World Series in 1997. Yes, I totally get it. I totally understand. But my goodness. Really? This man's track record has shown that he doesn't hit building a farm system is not in his forte. He'll dish out the big contracts, no question, sure. But building up the farm system in which you need? Nah, not so much. And you can't get away with that forever. Because guess what? Look at the New York Yankees. Go look at the farm system. And the guys that they've brought up. And I'm telling you, your arch rival is not only built for this year, but they are built for years to come. When you talk about when you have a young core of players, guys like Gary Sanchez, who's having a monster season at catcher, Aaron Judge, who is frankly the face of the New York Yankees, Luis Severino, although he may not be back until the second half of the season, but he is turned into a bona fide ace when healthy. And I get that the Red Sox have had young players that have come up and done and have performed very well, like Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, Jackie Bradley Jr., Andrew Benintendi. I get that. But the problem is that right now, your farm system is barren. And that spells trouble in the coming years for the Red Sox, especially if they somehow do not, if Mookie Betts does not want to re-sign here, which right now looks like he doesn't want to re-sign here long term. All the signs certainly point that way. So if I am the Red Sox at this point, trade him. Trade Mookie Betts. Trade Mookie Betts so that you can get assets for him. If there was a time that you should have traded him, it should have been last offseason after the World Series. When his value was at his highest, winning the MVP, American League MVP. I'm telling you for a fact, the Red Sox, they have their issues. And unless Dave Dombrowski makes a major jump forward, they are absolutely screwed. They are absolutely screwed. You are listening to WMFO Medford, WMFO in Medford, and this is the Shukri Wright Show. And you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We are going to commercial break, but when we return, music break, excuse me. But when we return, we're going to go from the diamond to the ice. Yes, we are going to talk Boston Bruins. We're going to talk about this past season and just reflect on the season that was. And what are my thoughts? But man, what an opportunity absolutely missed. And it is a shame. An absolute shame. Right after these words, from as a public service announcement, a home fire can strike anywhere, anytime, devastating families, but we can change that. The American Red Cross is working to reduce the number of fire deaths and injuries in the community. Working with volunteers, we are visiting homes to install smoke alarms, replace smoke alarms, batteries, and help families develop an escape plan. We can't do it without your help. Join the fire prevention campaign. Visit redcross.org to volunteer today. We are going to music break now. We'll be back after this to talk some Boston Bruins hockey.
Love is messed up. You say that it don't work. You don't wanna try, no, no. Baby, I'm no stranger to heartbreak and the pain of always being let go. And I know there's no making this right, this right. And I know there's no changing your mind. Wasted on me, wasted on me,
wasted on me.
Tell me why not, wasted on me, wasted on me,
wasted on me.
Baby, why not, wasted on me, wasted on me,
wasted on me.
Tell me why not, wasted on me, wasted on me,
wasted on me.
So we don't gotta go there. Past lovers and warfare. It's just you and me now. Secrets, but I pick up the pieces. Pull you close to me now. And I know there's no making this right, this right. And I know there's no changing your mind, your mind. But we both found each other tonight, tonight. So if love is nothing more than just a waste of your time, waste it on me. Wasted on me, wasted on me,
wasted on me.
Baby, why not wasted on me, wasted on me,
wasted on me.
Tell me why not wasted on me, wasted on me.
Don't you think there must be a reason? Yeah, like we had a names. Don't you think we got another season that come after spring? I wanna be your summer, I wanna be your wife. Treat me like a comer, I'll take you to one of the fries. Yeah, come just eat me and throw me away. I'm not your choice, bye, wise, waste.
And I know there's no making this right, this right. And I know there's no changing your mind. Wasted on me, wasted on me,
wasted on me.
Tell me why not wasted on me, wasted on me,
wasted on me.
Baby, why not wasted on me, wasted on me,
wasted on me.
Tell me why not wasted on me, wasted on me.
Shake it off. Whatever's been sitting on your mind, I'll take it off. I pray for that, like, ooh, nobody up in here is looking as good as you do. I promise you, mommy, it's true. Where you at, girl, it's all on you. Take my hand, put a smile on you.
I know that you wanna dance, I know that you're scared of love, but if you give me a chance, you know that.
You don't even know it.
climbing. And the ass too fat, get behind it. And the too good, I rewind it. Rocks on my watch like shots. Me the plug on a yacht for the blocks.
Hola, mommy.
I see those tears in your eyes. I feel so helpless inside. Oh love, there's no need to hide. Just let me love you when your heart is tired.
Believe when I say I never meant to treat you this way. look in your eyes, and every time it's there, I paralyze. My heart stops with beating, afraid that you're leaving. I know that I've hurt you, believe when I say I never meant to treat you this way, deserve much better. I'm such a cliche, what does it matter?
Good morning, everybody. This is the Shukri Wright Show. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio with your host, Shukri Wright. We have been talking Boston Red Sox baseball for the past hour plus. Now, we're going to shift gears now and talk Boston Bruins. I know. It's been just under a month since the Bruins lost Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. I know. I understand. If you're a Bruins fan listening this morning, feel free to call in 855-915-9636. That's 855-915-9636. You know, I really haven't gone into great depth in terms of, you know, having the opportunity to talk about the 2018-2019 Boston Bruins season. And you know something? Now is that time. Now is that time where I'm going to use this opportunity to, you know, just this is a reflection. Just reflect on the season as a whole. We're not just only talking about the Stanley Cup Finals and the fact that the Bruins did not take advantage of the grand opportunity that they had in front of them, but rather the opportunity in its own right that the Bruins had a remarkable season. They did. They honestly did. You know, you go back to last October to when the season started. You think about the expectations then. You think about where this team was and where this team is now. I can't help but think about how far this team has come, especially when we talk about the Bruins, where they were at the beginning of this season. We talk about, especially now, especially when we talk about, here we are on July 6th in the aftermath of the season that had just ended. And what's remarkable about all of this is that this was a team that went through a lot. They went through so much adversity in terms of guys going down due to injury and guys stepping up big time. And it's truly remarkable, and it's amazing that we saw the levels of depth that this organization has. You saw guys like Sean Corrali, who has become such a highly important fourth line center. And you saw guys like Charlie McAvoy, a young touted defenseman who we really all got the chance to watch really blossom even more as becoming the clear heir apparent to Zdeno Chara when he retires, to being the number one defenseman in Boston for the Bruins. We saw guys like Chris Wagner, who stepped up big, especially during these playoffs. When we talk about guys making sacrifices, blocking shots, getting in front of the net, doing whatever it takes to win, this guy broke his arm in the Eastern Conference Final against the Carolina Hurricanes, and amazingly enough, truly sacrificed himself for the betterment of the team. And you got guys who stepped in after being acquired in trades. Guys, for example, such as Charlie Coyle, who was acquired for the Minnesota Wild, who I will admit, live on the air, when the trade first happened, I wasn't a fan of the trade. I wasn't. You know? And man, his performance during these playoffs have absolutely changed my mind about that trade. Guys like Marcus Johansson, acquired from the New Jersey Devils, right in time for the final stretch run of the season for the Bruins. And it's very easy to say that the Johansson and Coyle line was arguably your second best line in these playoffs. I'm willing to put myself out there, unpopular opinion. I would even dare say that the fourth line for the Bruins, guys like Joakim Nordstrom, Noel Achari, Sean Corrali, at times were probably your best line, even better than the perfection line, even better. Because again, being brutally honest here, there were times that Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, and David Pastrnak absolutely just disappeared. But you know what? I'll criticize them at times, but I will absolutely give them credit where they deserve. This whole team, looking back on this entire season, I mean, this was a season where you lost Patrice Bergeron for a good chunk of games, 15, 20 games, Sedano Chara as well for a number of games. And don't forget, we lost Kevin Miller just before the halfway part of the season. And I mean, wow. But the guys who came in and did their job, and the guys that came in and stepped in admirably, guys like Stephen Kamfer, guys like Connor Clifton, who, by the way, I have to say, great move by Don Sweeney signing him to a multi-year extension, Connor Clifton, that is. And you saw the emergence of guys like Matt Grizzlick, who was absolutely spectacular in these playoffs. You know? And I cannot, and I mean, I absolutely cannot finish off this thought without talking about Zdeno Chara. We saw crystal clear during these playoffs, and even again in the finals, just how much Zdeno Chara means to this Bruins team. I already had a high level of respect for Zdeno Chara as a player. And it's easy to sit here to, you know, let's look at the numbers, you know, time on ice per game and so forth. But I'm not going to go there. Because I've heard too many times, and I've heard too many people say, he's too old. Why is he still playing? He should retire already. Blah, 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 blah. Nonsense. When you have a guy who has gone through it all, have gone through the vigors, and have gone through the battles that this man has gone through in terms of the playoffs, knowing what it takes to win the Stanley Cup, you saw his leadership shine truly, especially in the series against Toronto. You saw his experience shine brightly in the Stanley Cup Finals. And let me tell you something. That moment in Game 5, when he was introduced on Garden Ice, mind you, he broke his jaw after taking a shot to the face in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals in St. Louis, came out the morning of Game 5, skated, practiced, decided he was going to play, and the ovation that he received was absolutely incredible to watch. As a Bruins fan, as a sports fan, and even as a hockey fan, you have to absolutely admire and you have to respect the fact of what of the amount of pain that he played through and what he was willing to do to get his name on the Stanley Cup. That in itself is absolutely amazing. And then all it did was just increase my level for respect for him as a captain and as a surefire Hall of Famer. And amazingly enough, and all with all of that being said, and we're going to go to music break in just a moment, but I'm gonna ask this question to all of you, to all of you listening, and to all of you driving around wherever you may be going on this beautiful Saturday morning. My question to you is this: does this Stanley Cup playoff run change the perception for one Tuukka Rask? Or does the stigma that has been attached to his name still carry weight going into the new season, starting this October, the 2019-2020 season. That and your calls. Feel free to call in at 855-915-9636. That's 855-915-9636. Call in. Lines are open. And we'll be back in a flash after this music break.
Before you came into my life, everything was black and white. Now all I see is color, like a rainbow in the sky. So tell me your love will never fade, that I won't see no clouds of gray. Cause I don't want another, you bring color to my life, baby. Life was so heavy, always giving up, no, no. But since you came along, I'm not as a feather. Sensational, baby. When we're together, everything is better. My darling, only you can brighten up my day. You make everything change, you rearrange, so don't go away. Let me tell ya, before you came into my life, everything was black and white. Now all I see is color, like a rainbow in the sky. So tell
Welcome back. This is the Shukri Wright Show, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio with your host, Shukri Wright. We're talking Boston Bruins hockey, and we're going to talk about Tuukka Rask. Now, we all know, as Bruins fans, that Tuukka has certainly been an interesting figure, especially in the eyes of Bruin fans. And the whole thing with Tuukka certainly has been that he has to win the Stanley Cup in order for him to be justified as being one of the best of all time. Dare I say, one of the best to one of the best to ever put on the Spook B. Listen, I know it's a bit of a far cry and a bit of a reach to say, hey, you know, Tuukka, he's had some success in the regular season. He's won a Vezina Trophy in 2013-2014 as the NHL's best goaltender. He certainly has had his moments, but, because there is that but he hasn't done anything in the playoffs. Q, enter this year. This playoff run. Listen, I admit he was a bit shaky against Toronto in the first round, but he finally picked it up against Columbus, where he outplayed Sergei Bobrovsky, who at that time was playing out of his mind. He was, no question. And in the Eastern Conference Finals, oh my gosh. You want to talk about and simply just dominated the Carolina Hurricanes. And now, here come the Stanley Cup Finals against the St. Louis Blues. He had moments in this series where he was terrific, outstanding, and so forth. Tuukka wasn't the issue during these playoffs, even in the finals. He wasn't. So, some of you may think that, well, he didn't win the cup, so it's his fault. No. Slam the brakes right now. The problem for the Bruins as to why they didn't win the cup is because 5-5, St. Louis was the better team. Physically, St. Louis won that physical battle. And to be brutally honest, the Bruins relied on their power play too much. So what happened, especially in Game 7? St. Louis didn't really give the Bruins the goal on the man advantage. They didn't. They said, hey, fine. You know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take away your strength. We're not going to go to the box. We're not going to commit stupid penalties. So what we're going to do is we're going to absolutely make you beat us on 5-on-5 hockey. And you know what? The Bruins couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. But Tuukka, in this case, he was solid. But the problem is this. You can't expect your goaltender to win you every game allowing one goal or even two goals. It's just not realistic. Now, the pain of losing that Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals is too raw and too fresh in the wounds. But I'm going to reopen that wound. Because you know something? If there's one thing that I've learned, the one thing that I've realized is that when it comes to big moments in big games, especially this as it pertains to Tuukka, up until this year, has come up small. I want to remind you guys of something. I'm going to go as far as to say he has a history of it. Remember 2010? That collapse against the Philadelphia Flyers, especially in that Game 7, where we're up 3-0? I haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten at all. And I'm pretty sure no Bruins fan has actually forgotten. 2013, Game 6. Against the Chicago Blackhawks. Two goals in 17 seconds when you're up 2-1 and you're oh so close to forcing a Game 7 in Chicago. And somehow you let that get away. 2014, what do you mean? Well, let me remind you of something. Remember that Montreal series? The second round? Yeah, I do too. Game 7 at home? And what ultimately, looking back on it, was the end of an era in Boston Bruins hockey as we knew it at that time. Think about it. This was the last year of Andrew Ference, Sean Thornton, being on the team. Guys like Milan Lucic was entering the final year of his tenure with the Bruins. Chris Kelly, the latter stage of his career. You know, they had the opportunity. And oh, not to mention, oh, by the way, that was the end of the one year and done for, remember Jerome Iginla? Yeah, I do too. And, you know, 2018, last year, I mean, Tampa just outplayed you. You just wasn't good enough to beat Tampa at that time. In 2017, oh man, how could I forget? Yeah, of course. But again, I'm not saying these all of these failures to all solely pull, to solely pinpoint it on Tuca. But what I'm saying to you all is this: he's melted in big moments. But as for Game 7 of the 2019 Stanley Cup Finals, wasn't entirely his fault. That's all I'm saying. So my question to you is this: does his performance throughout the entire 2019 Stanley Cup Finals or 2019 Stanley Cup playoffs change your perception of him as a goaltender, as a guy that you can say, hey, you know what? We have a chance to potentially win a cup with this guy? Feel free to call in. 855-915-9636. 855-915-9636. Feel free to call in, share your thoughts about the Bruins, the season that just ended, and let me know what do you expect? What do you expect for this team moving forward? You know, I really am curious. This offseason is going to be a very telling offseason for the Bruins. You came to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. You were that close to hoisting the Stanley Cup. Which, by the way, we all would have enjoyed a three-peat in terms of championship parades in this region, in Boston. What does that tell you? That tells you, wow. Huh. The road of success, the road to success for this team was there for the taking. It really was. And I'm really one who has this belief that this Bruins team really, really, really laid an egg. And I'll never forget the night of Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals from a month ago. Getting home that night and just thinking, my God, this team really, really blew it. They blew it. This team blew this opportunity, and the opportunity was right there. In a year that the Washington Capitals entered the playoffs, they were the defending Stanley Cup champions. In a year in which that the Tampa Bay Lightning, 128 points, won the President's Trophy, completely laid a turd against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Didn't even win a single playoff game. How do you like those apples? And somehow, this team just didn't get it done. So, my question to you Bruins fans is this: do you think that this window of opportunity is done for this team? Or do you think that next year they'll have that opportunity to win the cup again? But just keep in mind the following. Toronto, they got better. The Rangers, the New York Rangers, they got better. The New Jersey Devils, dare I say, Yes, they got better. They just added Wayne Simmons on a one-year deal, $5 million on contract. They acquired former Norris Trophy winning defenseman P.K. Subban from the Nashville Predators to add him to that blue line. Yeah, so yeah, the Devils got better. Montreal, the Montreal Canadiens. Yeah, they got better. So if you want to sit here and tell me that perhaps the Bruins got better and they got stronger as the season progressed this past season, they did. But next season, they may not be as lucky as they were. Because let's face it, they were pretty lucky that it went their way. And the opportunity was right there. Right there. And I can't help but wonder. I really gotta wonder. After committing a major gaffe, how does Brad Marchand come back next season? Does he come back with a fire lit under his belly? Or does he decide to say, you know what? I am not going to come out as fired up, ready to go, like ready to fire at all cylinders, because he still has that in the back of his mind. Because that second goal that the Blues scored in that Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals at home, that's on Marchand on a terrible change, on a terrible line change. Absolutely terrible. I mean, really? Wow. I couldn't believe it when I first saw this as it happened. And, I mean, good grief. You want to talk about an absolute poo-poo. It was just awful. Absolutely awful. And I can't help but wonder, if you're the Bruins and you look at the Eastern Conference, heck, even the league, as is, I personally cannot believe that next season,